Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Share the love, share the truth, share the life on 657 AM, on 657 AM.
You're listening to Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, 657 AM. This is where you are to give you the sounds of Michael David, wave after wave. Your love just keeps flowing for me. Your love just keeps flowing for me. And we are grateful for his love. We are thankful for his love. You're listening to Just For You. And we just said goodbye to Vane and Rousseau and Janine for the Good News Hour. And right now, right here on Just For You know now what's happening. We do have our Kiredi health expert. We are talking to Dr. Inga Mgaleli, and today we're talking World Breastfeeding Week, and she's on the line with me, my queen. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am blessed. I'm so excited, always excited to be talking to you, because there's something new that we learn. And also to empower our Radio Pulpit family members. That is so awesome all the time. So thank you so much for giving us this moment to be talking to you.
Thank you for always having me.
And today we are on all about encouraging breastfeeding, because it's the breastfeeding week. It's actually the World Breastfeeding Week. What is it all about? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it's the initiative, so essentially World Breastfeeding Week is from the 1st of August until the 7th of August.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a campaign that is across the world. So it's not just South Africa, it's a global initiative. And we just want to raise awareness about breastfeeding, so the benefits of breastfeeding, and also more than anything, to encourage and support mothers, who are breastfeeding, and for them to breastfeed. It's also about ensuring that we create supportive environments where mothers can breastfeed, you know, safely and freely and without judgment. It's also about sharing information about how, you know, breastfeeding benefits and is good for infant health. So that's what Breastfeeding Week is all about.
Well, there are so many myths around breastfeeding, for example. So, and I love the fact that you also mentioned the other part where people feel offended because a mother is breastfeeding in public, for example, and they're like, why did this woman take out her breasts? But it's something that she has to do. The child needs feeding at that time. But what are some of the myths that are there? One of those that I know is that your breasts will go droopy and you won't have beautiful breasts when you breastfeed. How true is that?
Look, every woman's body is different, so it's difficult to predict, you know, what essentially pregnancy and breastfeeding will do to a woman's body. You know, some people, they're pregnant, they breastfeed, and their bodies go back to what they were. Some women experience slight changes to their bodies after pregnancy and breastfeeding, and other women, they experience drastic changes. So it's difficult to say, but I think the conversation really that we should be having around pregnancy, having children, and breastfeeding is that, you know, your body is likely to change, and, you know, we should actually be, you know, more, we should actually, as a society, have less to say about women's bodies.
Yeah, and I'm also thinking, Dr. Mgaleli, that it's all about the child here, not about the mother who wants her breast to look like a teenager's breast, but it's all about becoming a mom. And I'm going to say this, also wearing our big panties, you know, big girl panties, and take care of our children.
I think that's a very important factor that you highlighted. Yeah, we should just have less to say about women's bodies. And I think also, you know, women should be kind to themselves. You know, you've just, pregnancy is a lot, it changes your body a lot. And breastfeeding will also, you know,
affect you one way or another.
As well,
All right. So, what is the purpose of this breastfeeding week? What's happening in it?
So essentially what we're doing is we're sharing information. We are promoting essentially and trying to encourage breastfeeding. You know, breastfeeding has a lot of benefits for the infant. It has a lot of benefits for the mom as well.
Mm.
And we also want to, you know, support and protect our mothers who are breastfeeding. So I know just now we were speaking about, you know, how taboo, although there is been a culture shift, or there is a culture shift at the moment, but, you know, breastfeeding in public was such a taboo, you know, thing. But, you know, sort of, like I've been saying now, there's like a culture shift, and that's because of, you know, information and raising awareness and, you know, people standing up for women's rights to say that this is a mother, you know, and she's feeding her child. There's nothing to be sexualized about this, you know, thing of mothers breastfeeding in public. And also the other thing is creating spaces for mothers in the workplace to breastfeed, or rather to be able to express their breast milk so that, you know, they have milk to for their children or their child when they are at work. So that is the importance of, you know, breastfeeding, World Breastfeeding Week.
All right.
To shed light on those issues. And, they, you know, also about the nutritional benefits of breastfeeding, because there are so many.
And I will say that I'm blessed at Radio Pulpit to be working for Radio Pulpit, because I remember when I was after giving birth, I would travel with my son, and afterwards, like, come to work with him. And afterwards, when I came back, I remember that I could express. I was allowed a space where I could express. So good kudos to Radio Pulpit.
We should, you know, clap hands for those kinds of organizations, because a lot of companies, a lot of organizations
don't allow
spaces like that.
Yeah.
And we know that is the difference between a mom deciding to stop and versus continue to breastfeed. It's simply just having a space to express.
Yeah.
You know, lots of women stop breastfeeding when they have to go to work. We were literally having that conversation yesterday with my colleague. You know, a young mom was asking us for advice to say that can she use formula and breastfeed, because now she has to go back to work, so she doesn't have enough breast milk, and it seems like, you know, there's no space for her to express at work. So we were just having that conversation that, you know, is it safe for her to use formula and breastfeed if she is still able to? So these are very, you know, this is a reality for a lot of South Africans and a lot of women also across the world, especially in developing countries.
We understand the importance of breastfeeding, but there's something that I always think we misunderstand: to exclusively breastfeed for the first 6 months. Now, I remember in my case, I tried to give my son formula after 3 days, because I was like trying to help him practice to get on formula when I go back to work, but he became colic and I had to go back to exclusively breastfeeding. How important is exclusively breastfeeding our children the first 6 months? And also with that, exclusively breastfeeding the child, should we be giving water as well?
So the World Health Organization, you know, it does recommend exclusive breastfeeding for the first 6 months of life.
Mm.
And that breast milk is sufficient. That's the only drive that your child needs. No water. Water is actually dangerous, you know, in pediatric population at that age.
Mm.
It doesn't have any nutritional benefits. Literally, all WHO recommends in the first 6 months of life is exclusive breastfeeding. So you are just giving your baby or your infant breast milk for 6 months. And after 6 months, then you can start introducing complementary soft foods and soft diets, and you build on that. But actually, they recommend breastfeeding up until 2 years of life.
Mm.
And that's just because of the nutritional benefits. So as I've said, in the first 6 months of life, breast milk has everything your child needs.
Mm.
It's got enough nutrients. It's got, you know, everything that your child needs, enough nutrients, and it also does provide, you know,
immunity.
It provides immunity as well for your child in the first 6 months. So through breast milk, you are passing, you know, cells that in your body that will help fight your child, because in that time period, you know, the baby is still developing their own immune system.
Mm.
So through breast milk, you give them a little bit of immunity while they try and establish their own immune system.
Mm.
And then, of course, we know that it helps with malnutrition. Infants that are breastfed tend to have lower rates of malnutrition.
Mm.
They tend to be at lower risk of being sick. They tend to be at lower risk of developing infections.
Mm.
And, you know, when you look at the stats, in adulthood, they tend to have lower rates of developing diabetes,
mm.
lower rates of developing certain types of allergies.
Mm.
So there's just a lot of benefits for...
What about the mom? How does the mom benefit for that exclusively breastfeeding within that first six months?
So the first 6 months of breastfeeding for the mom, it does foster that bonding between the mom and baby.
Right.
It's also good for the mom's mental health and well-being. There's not a lot of evidence to suggest this, but
mm.
breastfeeding does also help, you know, with losing, the excess body weight or body fat that you get during pregnancy.
Okay.
There's not a lot of evidence to support this, but it does help. It does also regulate your hormones. Look, you can still fall pregnant when you are breastfeeding, but
mm-hmm.
It sort of does trick your brain to not... Like, it does sort of trick your brain to not make the hormones that, you know, you usually are making when you are not pregnant and
okay.
not breastfeeding. So some people do use it as a contraceptive. It's not 100% safe, and like I said, you can fall pregnant, but it does offer some protection against falling pregnant in that period when you are breastfeeding.
Mm.
So there's just like a whole lot of benefits, but it is difficult. Like, you know, you said a lot of women, there are reasons that they stop breastfeeding, like, you know, when the infant, when they're struggling to get latching,
mm.
you know, if women have to go back to work
mm.
and there's no space for them to breastfeed, sometimes
mm.
women feel that they aren't making enough
milk.
Sometimes they aren't making enough milk at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is a very distressing time for them. And often they stop breastfeeding or they feel that they need to supplement the breastfeeding. Of course, we do have medication that help with lactation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's even important for us to have this conversation, is to say, look, you know, sometimes you don't produce enough milk. And there is ways for us to assist you to... lactate and make enough milk.
Mm.
And then sometimes, like you were asking me, you know, is breast milk enough on its own in the first 6 months of life? So sometimes moms are concerned that, you know, baby's not getting enough nutrients
mm.
and then they stop breastfeeding.
Sure.
Sometimes moms are on medications and they're concerned, oh, is the medication that I'm taking going to harm my baby? And so they stop breastfeeding.
Yeah.
And then, you know, also cultural norms and all these myths
yes.
that you've been speaking about also affect, you know, the decision for moms to stop breastfeeding. So it's a lot of challenges. And that's why this week is so important for us to, you know, have the conversation around these challenges and also to create safe spaces for breastfeeding moms.
Wow. If there was a job of breastfeeding, I would take it. That's the best thing I enjoyed, even looking into the eyes of this cute little person that you have and the bonding. And that was beautiful. I enjoyed it. But when it comes to cancer, how does it assist in terms of breast cancer?
You mean how does it
breastfeeding
breast cancer?
Breastfeeding
breast cancer?
Because it is we are told that you can never have breast cancer whilst you're breastfeeding. How truth is that?
That's not true. That's not true necessarily. So as with other conditions, there are risk factors for developing breast cancer.
Mm.
I think rather, you know, the concern is around the safety of breastfeeding when you have cancer. or even breastfeeding, actually, when you have, you know, infection or you have like an ulcer or so anywhere on the breast. Mm. And I say this because I myself, you know, have treated a mom who she came and she had an abscess on her breast and she was concerned because she was breastfeeding. So I had to sit down and have the conversation with her that, look, on this breast with the abscess, you can't breastfeed, you know, until the abscess heals because there's risk of, and that it was also the location of the
abscess.
The abscess. And remember, you know, it might just look like, you know, the breast milk is coming out of the nipple, but it's a whole system that you have going on. You have ducts that are producing milk. Mm. So there's much more to be aware about to say that when you have, you know, an infection, like some women come and they have infection in their ducts, they can't breastfeed during that time because there's risk of passing the infection on to the baby. You know, they are protective factors for breast cancer and they are risk factors for breast cancer. I'm not aware that breastfeeding is one of, you know, the risk factors.
All right. So what makes breast milk so special compared to other sources of nutrition? Dipapa tsa rona le di le merogo.
Yeah. So like I said, it's almost like, you know, your body has made the perfect food essentially for your baby. It's got everything that your baby needs. It's got, you know how when, you know how we speak about having a balanced diet and you say you must have this much carbohydrates on your plate, you must have this much protein on your plate, then you must have this much fruits and vegetables and like, so that you get all your macronutrients. And then you must also supplement your micronutrients. So you make sure vitamin C, you make sure that you have enough calcium, you make sure that you're getting enough of everything. So breast milk has just the perfect balance of all those micro and macronutrients that your baby is going to need. So it's just like the perfect food for the baby. And in fact, in those first few days after pregnancy, you make a different kind of breast milk and it changes over time. I forgot now what it's called, that breast milk that you make in the first few days of life.
Colostrum. Colostrum.
Yes. It's like, it's a super breast milk. It's super breast milk even, you know. It just gets your baby going. To show how really, really important, you know, and serious that we take breastfeeding, in neonatal ICUs, sometimes, you know, we have babies where their moms have passed on or their moms have given them up for adoption. And so we use donor milk, you know, their moms who express, they express milk for their babies and then they express milk for other babies. And it's safe, you know, we can use donor breast milk to feed other babies. So it just goes to show just
how important
and how good it is for your baby, to the fact that we would go as far as giving infants in neonatal ICU, you know, donor breast milk. But like I said, you know, later in life, it reduces the risk of allergies and,
intolerances,
chronic diseases. Yeah. And it's also, you know, cost effective. You know, when you're breastfeeding, you spend less money on formula, you spend less money on, you know, having to supplement your child's diet. There are also those benefits. And
okay.
Then, like I've said, you know, it also helps the mom bonding, weight loss, you know, those sorts of things.
The shrinkage of the uterus. Okay, let's hear what a family member says. Hi, Piedra Small. May Gwiningen.
There's no space for her to express at work.
Good morning, family. Can I ask you guys, I'm just going to send a voice message. To pray with me for two of my friends. It's Adele Tate. She got Alzheimer and it's not like almost here to see me. And then the other friend, Wafa. 2 weeks ago she found out, and I don't think she's a Christian. She believes in God. And they found a tumor in her lungs.
Okay.
And she was in ICU. They removed it and... no products from my angles. And dis malet nie, dit is almal dinge se huil baie organiseer today and on an odds. Yeah, God knows healer. She's a very, very, very nice person.
Yeah.
And baie dankie vir julle gebede. Ons waardeer dit. Dankie. Bye.
All right, Pietra, what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask when Pastor Mary Masina comes into studio, I'm going to allow her to pray for your friends and may the Lord give you strength. May the Lord Holy Spirit like really uplift you. I know it's not easy seeing your loved ones not feeling well and having tumors and all that, operations and all, but we will remain standing on the word of the Lord. We will trust the Lord in spite of everything that we see or how they might also be feeling. So we will keep trusting in the Lord. So we'll pray as soon as Pastor Mary Masina comes into the studio. But may the hand of the Lord be upon you and be upon them in Jesus' name. Now, another family member here, it's Seisman, saying, talking about breastfeeding, because I suckled until there was war to get off. I love that. I breastfed my son until he was 3. And I remember our family doctor, Dr. Leilan, was like, no. Now you have turned the child into a slave. he goes after you when you come to work. So when we breastfeed them, how long should we take? How long should it be? And should we be breastfeeding them on their terms or when they want it or what after the 6 months?
So, like I said, WHO recommends the exclusive breastfeeding for 6 months and then, you know, mixed, essentially you breastfeeding and you using complementary food and other fluids until about 2 years. Yeah. And so it's a fine balance between, and so obviously in the first 6 months, your infant feeds on demand, yeah? They feed on demand.
Oh, okay.
And even, and essentially what that means is that when you get whatever the cues are, that it's time for the baby to feed, that's when you would feed them because they can't say that they want, they can't verbalize that, they need to feed at that time. So they feed on demand. And the first, you know, couple of months, even after that 6 months, they still feed on demand. It's just that you are, you know, mixing. So you are introducing soft foods. Mm, mm. You may introduce formula. You may introduce, puree diet, that sort of thing. But they're still feeding on demand. But as your child gets older, they start, you know, being able to express in different ways that they want to feed now.
Yeah.
But also as they get older, they start to develop a personality. So it's a fine line between, because, you know, sometimes at that age, they're not breastfeeding because they are hungry and or they're not breastfeeding because, you know, they are thirsty. Sometimes they want to breastfeed because they want attention. It's part of a tantrum.
Okay.
So it's about knowing your child. And then, you know, having a fine line. You know, some moms breastfeed on a schedule at that time.
Yeah.
You know, it's about finding the balance that works for you and the infant. Because, you know, sometimes at that age, it's also the terrible twos.
So you sort of
have to find a balance between, you know, what works for you for that breastfeeding.
Yeah, I know there are children who just take out the breast.
No, that's
bring out. I want that.
We also need to discipline, you know, parents in the process. So that's the sort of thing you don't want.
But is breast milk addictive? Because they look like they're addicted to it. Is it addictive?
I mean, maybe they probably tend to develop a preference for it because it's all they've known. But like I said, you know, it's not only just about the breast milk because it gives you a bond, you know. So for some children, that time is like, especially if there are other children in the house.
Mm.
So that time when they are breastfeeding with mom, it's like time for them alone with mom.
Okay.
And so, you find that sometimes as they get older, it's not even about the breast milk. Sometimes it's just about, spending time with mom. It's about wanting that attention. Mm-hmm. You know, children are children at the end of the day. But, I mean, they will tend to develop a preference for it, especially if, you know, it's been part of their diet. So it is difficult sometimes to stop breastfeeding. There's a lot of strategies that moms use to stop breastfeeding because it is difficult to stop, especially when once, you know, they are a little bit older.
Wow. I'm going to share for the last time from my experience. Once when I stopped, I didn't even struggle. My breast never became full. Because I think I had given everything I had.
Yeah.
And I've heard of others, their moms showing them, you're no longer going to breastfeed. This is what you're going to have now. I know there's a mom who said some years back, she breastfed up until the child was 12.
Oh, never. How is she even making breast milk?
So, no, like the child would go to school and come back. When they come back, they start with mom first and then they can do the rest of, and then before they sleep again. And she said, I cut that when he was 12, but breast milk was still coming out. I was like, what?
So, that's what's surprising me right now.
So what do we say to our family members in closure, Dr. Mkalili, where breastfeeding is concerned?
So my parting words are, you know, breast milk is best. It's good for your child. It will provide all of the nutritional support and benefits that they need in the first 6 months of life. But of course, we know that it's not possible for all moms. And so, you know, we're not ostracizing moms who, for whatever reason, can't exclusively breastfeed in those 6 months of life. We are just encouraging it. Two, that, you know, we should all support breastfeeding moms at work, in the workplace, in public. You know, we should foster a safe environment for moms to breastfeed. You know, we should encourage them, we should support them. Moms who are struggling with breastfeeding, we should take space for them. You know, there's a lot of coaching in clinics and hospitals when moms have just given birth, with the latching and teaching moms how to express as well. So there's a lot of support networks that, you know, you can turn to if you are struggling and if you need additional support. We should again also have less to say about women's bodies, I think, which is way too opinionated. I think let's encourage breastfeeding and,
Dr. Mkalili, thank you. So for us who'd like to be in touch with Kiredi, talk to a doctor, get advice, how do we do so?
So we're on our WhatsApp line on 060-019-0000. And we're also on all the social media pages, Facebook, X, and Instagram. And we are also on TikTok using the handle at KirediSA. And if you want to visit one of our mobile clinics, you can check where your nearest mobile clinic is on our website. Mm-hmm. We are in the four provinces, Western Cape, Gauteng, Eastern Cape. I'm forgetting one. KZN is where you'll find us. And we are ourselves talking about World Breastfeeding Week. So ask us anything, any concerns, any questions. We're happy to answer and chat to you.
I wish we had more time where we can also, or where we could also talk to those moms who are struggling to breastfeed.
But
I guess next time maybe we will be able to do so. But thank you so much, Dr. Mkalili, for always availing yourself to talk to us. God bless.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Bye. And yes, my family, that was Dr. Mkalili from Kiredi SA. Now, our regular live conversations with our young doctors are hosted, and you can reach out to them with thoughts, questions, or concerns on their social media handle at Kiredi SA on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Speak to a young doctor and ask questions by sending hi to WhatsApp number 060-019-0000. 00000. It's 060-019-0000.
Become active. Active in faith. 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
Kusukela enhlizweni yethu ukuya kweyakho. Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Umngani wakho imihla ngemihla.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.